Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
The 9-foot homemade oak bar and pour yourself a cold one. My name is Chris, his name is Craig, and this is Bucks in the Basement. For fans, by fans, all Pittsburgh Pirates, and it is 30 minutes of Bucks here for you. And Craig, before we get into anything else, how important are transactions at this point? Like, was there anything big that happened here in the last week or the last couple of days that anybody should really care about or that should surprise anybody when it comes to what's going down in spring training?
Well, not really, Chris. I mean, there was two guys that were optioned today. One was our boy Jared Oliva, a guy that probably had maybe a puncher's chance at the outfield job, but that was prior to, you know, Brian Goodwin being brought in. That was, you know, prior to Anthony Alford coming back from his little elbow issue and us going out and getting Dustin Fowler from the A's. The other part about this is that a lot of people are kind of getting confused with the language of what's happening at this point in time. And it is a little bit different this year because the AAA season, which would usually start, I don't know, it's like 4 days after the Major League season, isn't starting until the same time as like all the other ones. And that's like whatever it is, May 4th, I believe.
Yeah, it's basically AAA, AA, single A, all the minor leagues. They'll start having their camps before their season after these guys get out of the way and start Major League Baseball because of COVID concerns. So there is no minor league baseball starting at the same time as Major League Baseball. So if you are no longer going to make the Major League squad, you're going to like a camp off to the side right now on like another field where you're away from the team and you're not part of what they're doing, but there really isn't a minor league camp yet because it doesn't start in earnest until after all the major league guys are gone and on their way to go play Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and part of this has to do with the wording, because it's like if you are on the 40-man roster, if you've been added at any point in time to the 40-man roster and you've gotten that spot, it will say that you are optioned because, as we were talking about before the show, Chris, you have to use one of those options at some point in time, like during the season. So it's Jared Oliva has been optioned. So when we talk about when, okay, this guy's out of options, those are the guys when it kind of means a little bit more. They had optioned. Another one was Edgar Santana, who had been coming back from, he had the Tommy John surgery, but then last year he was suspended for PEDs. He might not have been built up enough. We saw him pitch a few times, but he's a guy that's on the 40, man, and he's a guy that they are optioning to the minors, and it's specified as AAA just because a lot of our guys that are on the 40, man, there aren't too many of those guys that are, you know, the 21, 22-year-olds who are signed at a high school that may still be stuck in, like, high A for whatever reason, but you put them on the 40, man, to protect them to the Rule 5. We don't have a whole lot of guys like that. The only one that would possibly fit into that before this was maybe, like, the Max Kranick or Rodolfo Castro, but I feel like those guys may have been able to, I don't know, skip a level or whatever it may be. And you may see, you know, Castro start out in Altoona. I don't know. But as of right now, it's a lot different than it had been before. And what brought this up in my mind was somebody saw that Kevin Kramer, who's been with the Indianapolis Indians, our AAA squad, for like the past 3 years, coming off of an injury, possibly was going to make, you know, he was on the 40-man last year, was reassigned to minor league camp, and they're like, well, why isn't he in AAA? And it's like, well, they haven't made all the assignments yet.
Okay, so essentially what you're saying here is that a guy is getting optioned and he's getting sent to a specific level. If they don't know what level he's going to yet, he's just getting sent to the mini camp while they try to figure out what they're going to do to him. Reassign an option basically says the same thing. The guy's not going to be on the major league roster. If he's not going to be on the major league roster, then they're going to figure out where they're going to end up putting him. When they know where they're putting him, they option him to that location. The non-roster invitees are all reassigned because they have minor league contracts and are just being told, go back to the minor leagues. You didn't make it to the majors. That, I think, explains it right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like all in the wording. And like I said, it usually would be worked out more at this point in time, like this close to the season, because all of the minor league seasons would be beginning around the same time, just, you know, slightly after major league. But since they couldn't bring, you know, all of their minor league players from the entire organization into camp, they were only allowed to bring up to 75 guys. They couldn't have any of those guys over at Pirate City where they normally would be. So a lot of this stuff happens, like, you know, in a regular, you know, non-COVID affected spring training.
Next year, when we get to next year, we'll be back to normal. I think with baseball and everything else, well, things will go back to normal and you won't have to deal with this again. But that's because things are a little weird. Let's talk about a guy who you discussed. First of all, are you afraid about how he's doing in spring training already in your Inside Bucks Basement blog? But now the entire world seems to have caught on to what you wrote about already. And now everybody, if you just search Pittsburgh Pirates news right now, the top three, four things that pop up are three or four different people basically talking about something you are already out in front of. And that's, should Mitch Keller get optioned? Is this a guy that should make it through spring training and be on the roster based upon how he's pitched in the spring? What do you think about that?
Well, I was a tiny bit concerned after, I think it was his first two starts, just because I didn't see the control. I didn't see the swing and miss. I saw him pitching pretty much everything out of the zone. He wasn't attacking batters. He wasn't going at them. So even like his fastball that, you know, he can usually place, you know, somewhere within the zone or someplace with a little bit of movement that will trick somebody, it just wasn't happening. His slider was way out off the plate. Guys weren't, you know, it's not that chase pitch because it never looks like it was going to be in the zone. He has progressively, in my mind, gotten better. I was watching the game today and I actually had to watch the game, but then listen to the broadcast because I thought Matt Capps was supposed to have his broadcast debut today. I thought it was going to be on TV. It was actually on the radio, our boy Matt Capps. So I wanted to hear what he was saying about Keller because it's something we had talked about previously about guys, you know, sinking or swimming. And Keller, he had mentioned previously, is a guy that he wanted to see. You know, he's going to have to figure it out up here because there's not anything that he's doing that he can figure out in AAA. And that's kind of what he alluded to in this, because he said he saw more pitching within the zone. His pitches, until his pitch count got high, which for spring training is usually, I think he was going to go to 70, 75 pitches today, was anything over 60 pitches. That's when he started to get hit today, because he isn't stretched out to that point yet. But the unfortunate part, Chris, is that it's only in three innings.
Yeah, but listen, he's started four games so far. He's pitched only eight innings, so that's a small sample size. But over those eight innings, he's given up 22 hits and 15 earned runs. 3.12, Craig. That's not his ERA. That's his walks and hits per innings pitched. That's frightening. That's, like, really scary. You're sending him to the major leagues with that?
I do not think that there's anything that can be worked on in AAA that would do any bit of good for this man, just because my biggest thing was when we talked about this when we were doing our broadcast in 2019, the year we started, about how they were yo-yoing him up and down and the effect that it was having on him. And then last year he didn't pitch that much because of an injury and then came back. And this is four starts in spring training. And would I say it concerns me? Yes. would I say it's enough for him to not make the major league roster and be one of the first, you know, five guys to come in the rotation? I would say absolutely not, especially since it's not like you would be optioning him to AAA and he would be pitching in games. You would option him to AAA, and for the first month, he would be in an alternate site, which they said that they could organize some games with some of the other alternative site teams around them. But you don't know how much actual game work he's going to get in that month. And I just feel like that this is something that he's working on, and I feel like he worked better in the zone. He should have, you know, one more start before the regular season starts. And barring any type of injury causing this type of, you know, struggle in the beginning, I see no reason that he starts at the alternate site, Chris. I really don't. I thought his fastball was working better today. And there was times where I think he could work on sequencing where he was trying to get them to strike out with the curveball or with the slider, and it was getting fouled off. I think he had like four of his fastballs, and there was a couple other ones that were being fouled off that he just wasn't doing the right pitch sequencing. And the times he got his strikeouts is when he was attacking the batters. And that's what I wanted to bring up. Another thing that Matt Capps brought up in his broadcast is that he was talking about, he's like, why does he keep on throwing that out? The guy's going and attacking that. He's being able to get on top of that. They weren't catching up with his fastball. I mean, the number of times he threw it, the number of fouls he got from it, the number of called strikes, the number of swings and misses, his fastball had them guessing, and he still wasn't as confident in it. And it's kind of crazy.
All right. So look, I can tell you're passionate about this because you're just running with it, and you want him in the majors, and I get it. And to be honest with you, I agree with something that you said there a little while back, that they did yo-yo him in 2019. We talked about that on the show a lot, that this was one of your prized prospects and you were ruining him and messing with his confidence with the way that he was up, he was down, he was up, he was down. Like, make a decision. If he wasn't ready yet, don't bring him up. If he was ready, bring him up and let him take his bumps. But the back and forth now, I think, has created a psychological mess that now is in spring training and is still, I think, a little bit of a psychological mess out there. So now the question has to be, how do you fix that? Because I do think that there might be something going on right now in this poor kid's head, where after he's been sent up, sent down, sent back, sent forth, had the injury last year, all these different things, he knows, just as much as we know, just as much as every Pirates fan knows, he knows he's one of the only real key guys for the future on this team. And what somebody needs to do is sit him down and say, look, man, you're a Pirate, and this is a growth year, and we're not going to worry if you're a Cy Young pitcher this year. And we're just going to worry about you starting the year, and then when you're done with the year, you finish the year in the majors, and you're better in August and September than you were at the beginning of the year. That's an accomplishment for us. That's kind of got to be a goal that's laid out for him. And if that is the goal, then the only other question I would have is, should he be in the starting rotation? An awful lot of pitchers have gone into the bullpen to fix problems, to come out stronger, especially when they're younger. And a lot of rebuilding teams will move a guy into a long relief or different positions just so they can pick and choose to build that confidence up. I don't know if you want to start the season with him in the starting rotation unless he's specifically working on something and the Pirates know that what his results have been are the results of him working on something. But once we tell him stop working on it and just pitch to win, he'll be a viable starter. Otherwise, I would say maybe make him a long reliever to kick things off. Bring him in situations, let him get some mop-up work, let him work against lineups that make sense for him where you could pick and choose, and give the kid some confidence before you move him into the starting rotation. Don't put him into minors anymore. He's a major leaguer. Tell him he's a major leaguer. But, I mean, there's some great pitchers out there. Chris Sale of the Red Sox spent the first year and a half in the bullpen, even though he was a number one draft choice drafted in the top 10. It worked out pretty well for him. There are a lot of guys that have taken that path before. There's no reason that you have to force him into the starting rotation. So what do you think about that theory?
That's actually not a bad theory, because, I mean, the thing with Keller and what you were saying, Chris, that really struck me is it's a psychological thing. Because anytime I've been like pressed on the issue as to what I believe is possibly quote unquote wrong with Mitch Keller, I say the kid can't get out of his own way. He doesn't trust his stuff enough. And when he even stumbles the least little bit, it just becomes like a domino effect. It's a landslide. He cannot get out of his own way and he can't get out of his own head. And when he starts games, he'll give up. Oh my God. Like especially the first year, and he would give up like three or four runs in the first inning until he finally settled himself down. And then he'd just start mowing down people like he had been there forever. But then there's other times like today where he was actually pitching fairly well. But, you know, when a seeing eye single goes through and then maybe somebody makes an error or something happens, he just gets like so tense. It almost seems like he's trying to be so perfect with his pitches that he ends up either letting them hang in the zone for too long, or he just basically walks a bunch of people or throws it. His fastball, which usually has a lot of rising action right now, and they've told him to trust it up in the zone. And he will just basically put it waist high and let people slam it.
So here's the thing then. So then if you have him in a relief situation, you can then pick and choose. Oh, this is a great situation for him. Look at the guys that are coming up. And they habitually don't do well against the stuff that he throws. Let him go out there and have a 1-2-3 inning and feel good. Like, instead of forcing him to have to go out there and know that he's got to go 5 or 6, like, have him in there and you could bring him in for 1 or 2. And then have him come off the mound pumping his fist in a game and feeling good about himself. Look at what the Tampa Bay Rays do with their pitchers. A team that we're going to be very similar to, especially in our spending going forward here. And the way that we structure things. The amount of starting pitchers they have that are going to start in the pen. They're going to use openers. They're going to have guys that have undefined roles. They're going to move them around. They've got a lot of young arms there. They're not just protecting their arms. They're not just playing sabermetrics. They're protecting their psyche. And the idea that every single person thinks the same way. Look, you can sit there and say, well, he's weak. You know, why is he so wimpy? We got the wrong guy. And you might be right. You might be right. But why don't you try being really great at something one day and then making it to the level that Mitch Keller made it to and getting drafted the way that Mitch Keller was drafted and then getting messed with throughout the entire 2019 season the way he was messed with. And we warned people. This is what he was going to turn into because of the way that they were treating him that year. You can go back and find those episodes 2 years ago where we warned people that this was the wrong way to handle him. And now look what you got. You got exactly what Craig and I told you were going to get. So now maybe the pen is where he's supposed to be. I mean, look at how, here's another example. I'm searching for examples. I thought of the Rays right away. I remember Chris Sale started in the bullpen. Michael Kopech on the south side of Chicago. Now this guy was a top 15 guy in the MLB pipeline, if I'm not mistaken, and he actually came over. That's why I probably remembered him, because of the Sale deal. So he came over to the Sox when the Sox traded a very developed Chris Sale. And then he had a surgery, and he had nothing but confidence. And then he goes and he marries some like WB actress or whatever she's on, some Instagram model. and it's clear that they have marital troubles because it plays out on social media, because that's what girls that age do. And all of a sudden he like decides he doesn't want to be married anymore, and they're having a baby, and there's all kinds of stuff going on behind the scenes, and he sits out the 2020 season. He was ready to pitch in 2020. He sits out. Now, if you're telling me that guy doesn't have something messed up in his head going on and a lot of personal issues, then you don't understand how things work for humans. They're not robots. But what have the White Sox done? In need of a fifth starter, they instead basically had a couple of like, you know, low-end starters come in and try out for that fifth starter position this year. They're using a $3 million player, it looks like, in their five spot. And they told Kopech right at the beginning of the year, you're eventually going to be a starter on this team. We're going to start you in the bullpen. We're going to let you work your stuff out. The guy's got a one whip in spring training, as I look it up right now, and is mowing people down. What do you think that's doing for his confidence after a rough 2 years? Look how they're treating their high prospect compared to how the Pirates are treating their high prospect. It's not all on Mitch Keller.
No, it's not. And Mitch Keller needs to get better, but Mitch Keller also doesn't need to be great, lights out ace this year. And I think some
he's
of
got
the
a couple
pressure...
years before he has to be ready for that. Let's what's the deal here? You're not winning a World Series this year. You're not going to win the World Series next year. You're not even competing for a playoff position for several years here. So why are you rushing the kid when you need to get him right? Make him a long-term project because you do have a long-term to work with him. Stop messing with him. God, why do they keep messing with this kid? It is mind-boggling to me. The first regime did it. The regime before this group. Now the Charrington group is in there. They need to start understanding that some mistakes were made with him with the last group, and they have to do it differently.
Yeah, and I can't disagree with that, Chris. And the other part for me is that, I mean, especially with the way these guys are getting, you know, built up for innings, and, you know, we brought in Cahill, we brought in, you know, Dwayne Underhood Jr., we brought in, you know, Luis Oviedo from, you know, the Rule 5 who could be in the bullpen. Then we go out and we sign the knuckleballer, Stephen Wright, and bring him in for minor league camp. They're just basically stockpiling arms that have been starters, that have been regulated to the bullpen, like have been starters at some point in their professional careers, their, you know, major league careers, and that also have been in the bullpen at times. So they're getting these guys that have almost like these Swiss Army knife type things, realizing in essence that our starters can't go 5 or 6 innings and that you're going to have to get kind of creative. And I hate to say like, and throw in like the piggybacks and the whatever it would be, the openers, and that's what you're guaranteed to be going to do. But they even said today with Cahill, you know, he went 2 innings today, but he only threw, I think it was like 17 pitches in those 2 innings. And Shelton said, I'd like to get him stretched out a little bit more, because it's like, he's either going to need to start for us some games, or he's going to need to come in after, you know, one of our starters throws like 80 pitches in the first 3.5 innings. And we need a guy who can fill in and give us like, you know, another at least three innings, you know, so we can get to the bullpen so the bullpen doesn't get too taxed. And that's the thing I worry about with Keller is, like, he threw, I think it was 72 pitches today and couldn't even get through 4 innings.
That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign for him for the beginning of the season. It's not. It's a terrible sign.
No, you don't want to see that type of stuff happen, man. And that's where I'm just, like, I'm getting nervous for this team, and especially with, you know, Stephen Brault going down. And what people will probably completely forget, because, and I don't, you know, fault them for forgetting, because it was about 8 days before, you know, the world shut down, that Stephen Brault was basically made day to day with, you know, a shoulder strain or something that was going on. And just recently, you know, Stephen Brault was made day to day with some other sort of muscle tightness. So if the season would have started on time last year, Stephen Brault wasn't even allowed to start his throwing program until 2 weeks after everything went down. So I think he went on day-to-day on the 4th last year. And so there was no way he was going to be ready and be stretched out to be a starter on opening day. So he was one of those guys that kind of lucked into last season to a degree. We don't know when we would have had him, but since there was a delay in the season, it took him time to get healthy and get right again. And you're going to be in the same boat here, and you were counting on Brault. And I hate to use the word, I'm with this team, I don't know if I'm going to use the word ace for a long time. A man in the five-man rotation, a guy, is what they were looking for him to be. They were looking for him. They were looking for Cool, probably looking for Tyler Anderson. I'm guessing Keller, at least the way they've been pitching him, to try to stretch him out, and he got to, you know, almost 75 pitches. And at that point in time, you're going like maybe Brubaker, Will Crow, somebody like that for the fifth man. But you take Brault out of that, and you have a lot of guys that don't have a ton of experience or a ton of success going deep into games, or that have been stretched out to go deep into games, man. It's going to be a struggle for the pitching staff this year. It's going to be a mess at times.
Hey gang, ever wonder what it's like to be a small business owner? It's confusing. Weird expenses coming out of nowhere, and when you throw in health insurance, forget it. Nobody understands how that works. If you own a business, big or small, it's one of the biggest expenses you have all year long. And yet, we all wait until open enrollment at the end of the year, and then we think to ourselves, next year I'll get a jump on it. And then it's another year of paying way too much. If you're a business owner, big or small, HR representative that wants to impress the boss, give Butch Zimar of Elite Benefits of America a call. Save yourself or your boss thousands or even tens of thousands of dollars a year. Reach out to Butch right now, 708-535-3006, or shoot him an email, butch@elitebenefits.net. And be sure to check out the Zimar podcast. Don't wait till the last minute. Put Butch Zimar to work for you now. I don't put a lot of stock into spring training stats. I kind of look for guys that are failing. You know, I look when a guy's doing really well, I go, good for him. He's on a hot streak. Maybe he can bring that in the beginning of the season. But it's still such a small sample size. When guys are failing, who you expect to be good, I get more worried of spring training than positive. But I don't know how you cannot be positive about the offense in spring training for the Pirates right now. Led by Kevin Newman with the 700 average, 14 for 20. He's 14 for 20 right now. Like, right now, Eric Gonzalez, who's battling for that shortstop job with him, he's 11 for 29, hitting .379 with a .955 OPS in spring training, and Newman's almost doubled his production. And, like, when you look at Frazier's hitting and Cabrian's hitting, of course, Gregory Polanco's hitting, folks, guess who's going to be a midseason trade? Brian Reynolds is hitting, which is good because it was so scary last year how much he had fallen off. Todd Frazier's making Colin Moran sweat because he might be the everyday first baseman the way he's hitting down there. these are the things that are going on. I think that's exciting to see that they're at least using the bats. This team was not a bad offensive team, as bad as they were, I would say, in 2020. In 2019, they were actually looked like the arrow was pointing up, like they were going to continue to improve. And then they just had this awful 2020, and it made you think this team was going to have to win every game 2-1. I think they're going to score some runs this year. I don't know if they have the pitching really to hang in a lot of games, but I think they're going to score some runs this year. What do you think?
I definitely think they are. And we've even seen it in spring training. It's been brought up a lot. They've been a lot more aggressive, like on the base pass with stolen bases. Some hit and runs. They are trying to manufacture runs because this is a team that, you know, doesn't have a whole lot of pop and power as far as the home run hitters, but they got some guys that can hit into the gaps. They got some guys that can, you know, find the holes on the right side of the field or something if they're getting, you know, if they're getting a shift over there. So they have guys that, and they have speed. I mean, Kevin Newman, and that's what people say. They'll be like, oh, Kevin Newman's, what was it, Chris? 14 for 20. They'll say, how many infield hits has he had? And I think he might have gotten what his first or second infield hit today.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I don't care. A hit is a hit.
Yeah.
Okay? Look, for all the sabermetricians out there, if you're going to count a walk as good as a hit, an infield hit's as good as a hit into the outfield. Okay? Yeah. You can't have it both ways. If you make it on base, you make it on base. There's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, this goes back to something that we talked about. Again, I feel like we've been at the front of the wave on an awful lot of things. You were at the front of the wave saying, I want to start talking about Mitch Keller well before anybody else started doing it. We were at the front of the wave when we talked about the fact that he might have problems based upon how they were using him in 2019. And I think we've been talking about, like, how this team has to model itself in terms of, like, very similar to the Rays because their owner isn't going to spend the money. And that Charrington has to have a certain philosophy, which I think he started to employ. I think if you look at his moves, he is operating like a GM that knows that he has a strict budget. I also think that we were kind of in front of things when it came to this team has to change its style of play. You have to find the little inequities, the little things that other teams don't have, those little intangibles that will help you put runs up that maybe other people don't employ or use. And in a sabermetric world with launch angle and everything else that is employed right now to try to figure out how to score runs, going old school maybe the best thing this team could try to do. Define that thing that other teams aren't doing. I like the fact they're stealing bases. I like to see hit and runs. I like to see run manufacturing. The idea that that worked for 80 years and now all of a sudden is obsolete and can't be used is incorrect. Is it easier to look at a stat sheet and say, oh, well, I'll just pick the best free agents that have these stats and I've got a team that's going to compete every year? Very easy to do that. It's like playing fantasy baseball as a general manager in Major League Baseball. But if you're able to find the little things that don't show up on the page and you find a manager that can use those things, you have a good team. Now, I'm not saying because they're doing all these things, they're competing for the NL Central crown, but I'm saying that if this is going to be the Pirates' way, that would be very interesting. It'd be interesting to see if the Pirates' way of playing is going to be defense and speed and small ball, and because they can afford guys that do that stuff much more than they can afford a guy with 1,000 OPS or a whip under one who comes out and pitches every 5 days, right?
Yeah. No, it's definitely, and I think Cherington setting it up that way, especially, you know, with the pitching, the guys, getting guys that, you know, trading for guys that can, you know, come into our bullpen or start or whatever they would be, but also have options. And, you know, it doesn't matter how many times you get optioned up and down in one season, that's still only one option year. So, I mean, I feel like he's going to get very creative with that, with the pitching staff. And I think that he is kind of playing into, you know, how the people are going to be deployed as far as defense and as far as how they're hitting. Maybe last year, because I know that Eckstein, the hitting coach, came out and he took a lot of it on the chin and a little bit of the fault for like kind of what went on last year. Maybe at some point, like during the, you know, spring training 2.0, they just basically said, okay, this is going to be 60 games. Let's try to see if we can do this with your hitting. And if it doesn't work, we'll just go back to the way it was before because we know you can hit the way it was before. Or right. Maybe they said, you know, we're going to try to, you know, like they said, play Cole Tucker in the outfield. We're going to try all these different things.
Let's have some fun with it, because what's the realistic chance that we win?
Yeah.
What's the realistic chance that we win? And if we get in there, what's the realistic chance that we can hang in there with all these behemoths that are built better than us? And it's only a 60-game season, and it's not like it affects our gait because nobody can come into the ballpark. You're right. There could have been a reasoning behind that. And I think that, like, think about it, like with pitching. Like, again, and this is something I'm interested to see if the Pirates start to go to it. We're sitting around and we're worried about the five starters. But are the five starters going to be real traditional starters in the long run, or are they going to be five starters in name? Where we're going to use openers like the Rays do, where we're going to have guys come out who are three-inning relievers, where we're going to use these combination groups like how the Rays do, where they have guys on pitch counts and they pull them out no matter if they're doing well or bad because they have it mapped out beforehand. I don't know. I'm really curious to see how it evolves, because I feel like there are changes to the way that the Pirates play ball. That's also being backed up by the ways and the types of players they're going out and acquiring, even in these little moves. The philosophy, I think, is going to change very drastically for the Pirates. You know, I mean, I'm sure there'll be people that will laugh at us and think that we're crazy. But then again, 3 weeks from now, you may read an article from somebody else saying exactly what we just said on this podcast. Kind of like what they did with your Mitch Keller stuff.
Yeah, man,
I feel like sometimes we're setting the trend here on Bucks in the Basement, and then people are like, hey, those guys have a good idea. I didn't think of that. Like, I feel like that's happening here a little bit.
Every once in a while, Chris, we are smart.
Every once in a while.
I won't give us every time, because I mean, I'm pretty sure we've said some dumb stuff.
If we were geniuses, we wouldn't be doing a podcast from a basement.
Yeah. Yeah, people ask me my opinion, and I'm like, man, I'm really flattered. And then I'm thinking, wow. I probably should be doing something with my life.
Right. But then again, maybe we are geniuses because we work in our basement. We were doing that before the pandemic started. Now everybody wants to do it. We're trendsetters, Craig.
We are.